Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Time for more of your listener questions. I hope that you survived Halloween, had a great time with all the ghosts and goblins. Nothing scarier than some of the questions you guys send in. First of all, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days2Go WDW. Days2Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation. With style. Right now, we're down to just 63 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2018. I'm getting excited, very nervous, but we're going to have a great time down at Walt Disney World in January. You can get excited. The same with this awesome app. There's a little Easter egg in this one. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but I'm going to throw this out there for you today. If you have Days to Go WDW, tap where it says Days to Go on your main screen. You're going to get a little help there when it comes to your ADR date and your FastPass Plus date. It's awesome. Grab these and other awesome apps over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show is also brought to you by the best travel agency out there. That's the Magic for Less Travel. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for amazing customer service and the amount of trips they book each and every year. When it's your turn to go down to Walt Disney World, sail with the Disney Cruise Line, or head out to where it all started at Disneyland, drop by themagicforless.com today, fill out that free no obligation quote, and have first class service from the time you think about that trip all the way through the trip itself. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1244 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, or if you're listening right away, it is still Halloween night, so hopefully you're out there getting some candy. Again, be careful for those little ghosts and goblins being crazy, and even the 6'3" ones who are out there with their daughter having a good time. We're out in Florissant, Missouri, collecting candy, saying hello to all of our neighbor friends, and just having a great time. So hopefully you had a fun time as well. Again, parents, make sure you check that candy because, you know, all the good stuff, like the Nestle Crunch, the Kit Kats, and those Reese's peanut butter cups, dangerous for the kids. So make sure you take those out of that bucket, put those in a safe place, like your belly or your lunch tomorrow, and keep America safe. You know, that's what we do as responsible parents. But today, let's get to the answering your listener questions. Pam is not here. She's trick-or-treating around the Allure of the Seas, which I'm sure they do trick-or-treating on that ship, and I would imagine you could fill a circle on an Apple Watch. That ship is so big. So she's having a great time, but we're here to answer your listener questions. Joining me, as always, Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
I hopefully have candy to give out to kids. As of the time of this recording, I needed a new porch light, needed candy, and also didn't have a pumpkin. So
you're behind the eight ball as we're recording, so we got to hustle.
Yes. So, but it's Wednesday, so now it's
Christmas
All Saints
music.
Day.
It's Christmas.
It's All Saints Day. So happy birthday to my brother. Yes, he is 30 today.
Wow. I'll have a birthday
to the club, buddy.
I'll have a birthday to announce on Friday that'll blow your mind. But that'll be coming up on Friday's show. But yeah, today's El Dia del Muerto. Isn't that what Coco is modeled after?
Yeah, that's what Coco is going to be all modeled after. So that'll be interesting to see Coco when that comes out on the 22nd of this month now. So yay, that'll be fun.
All right. Shout out to Kristen listening live as we're here on BeLive.tv on the Facebook page. She is currently at the Be Our Guest restaurant listening to the Be Our Guest podcast. That is all kinds of awesome. All right. Let's get to the questions. Megan from Chicago's got the first question. How those Cubs? Oh, wait, never mind. I can't say anything because we didn't make the playoffs either. I know, but I had to. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I love listening to your podcast at work. They make the day go by so much faster. My husband and I have been throwing around the idea of a last-minute New Year's trip. We're traveling from Chicago, Illinois, and plan to drive down to the world. We plan on leaving on the 30th. Oh, this is for New Year's. Stopping for the night along the way and arriving at Disney on New Year's Eve, then heading home on Tuesday, January 2nd. Whew, that's a quick trip. I know this is a super short trip, but we traveled last New Year's and loved the idea of being away from home for the celebration. I have a few questions, though, as we've never been to Disney around the holidays. We want to make this trip as affordable as possible, so we're looking at Disney's All-Star Movies. We have only ever stayed in deluxe and moderate resorts, so we're wondering if we'll like the All-Star Resorts. If so, which is the best? I know you always say good things about Pop, but it is a little more expensive. Is it worth it to pay a little extra to stay there? Okay, she has a couple other questions. Ricky, what do you think about that quandary? All-Stars.
Depends on how much little more extra is. They don't exactly say. So, you know, if it's like maybe $15, $20, I might pay the extra money to, you know, stay at Pop. If it's, you know, $50 or more, then maybe I might eat, you know, per night. Then maybe I might stay at the All-Stars. Just depends on how much that, you know, little extra difference is.
It's usually about $20 a night. 15 to 20. Yeah, it's not huge.
Yeah, so for 15 to 20, I might consider staying at Pop. That's just me.
You know, I would say you're going for the celebration. Like, from the beginning of the email, you're going down to be in the party atmosphere, probably heading to Epcot for New Year's Eve, maybe the Magic Kingdom, wherever you go. I mean, you want to be there for the event. I would say, if you're looking to make it affordable, stay at the All-Stars. You'll be fine. The All-Stars are fine. Pop Century's a little bit more, but it's, you know, either one. At this point, you're going to be looking for availability. If I, you know, when it's not a busy season, if I had my druthers, I prefer music the best out of the three All-Stars. I don't know why. It just seems to be the quietest. Ricky, what about you?
I probably would say movies, but that's just me. So I like the theme of movies a little bit better than I do the rest of them.
I like the big old cowboy boot.
I know. That's pretty cool,
pretty
isn't
sweet.
It?
That's a 10-gallon boot there. All right. Also, since we're going for only two nights, one full day, what do you suggest we do? We're super laid-back people, so we're open to going to a park probably on New Year's Day. We're thinking Epcot or the Studios. I'd personally prefer the Magic Kingdom, but I'm sure the crowds will be larger there. Any tips would be great. All right. So there, one full day, two nights. What would you suggest? I mean, that is, boy, that's a tough one because it's going to be crowded wherever you go, really.
Right. It's absolutely going to be crowded. The only thing I have against Hollywood Studios is there really is just so few actual attractions to do. So I do worry about crowds over there just because of that fact. You know, even a non-busy day at Disney's Hollywood Studios right now is a busy day at Disney's Hollywood Studios right now. So I don't know that I would go to the Studios. That's just me though.
I would say Epcot. They're super laid back. And the thing is like Epcot on New Year's Day, I think is going to be a good bet because so many people go there on New Year's Eve. Like,
that's,
you know, that's where I would be on New Year's Eve. So the last place I'm probably going to think to go is New Year's Day. And kind of, you know, I've been there long enough the day before, you know, and the night before. So Epcot, and if you're super laid back, you know, you can go do World Showcase and chill out and have a good time. That's what I would do. Yeah. You know, if you get a couple rides in up in Future World, all the better.
Agreed.
All right. Lastly, what do you suggest we do on New Year's Eve outside of the parks? Again, we're super laid back and we're on a budget. We don't need anything fancy at all, but still want to do something fun in Disney field. Do you have any ideas? Thanks in advance. Sincerely, Megan is up in Chi-Town. So not going into the parks New Year's Eve, where would you land without, because stuff is expensive on New Year's Eve if you do like dinners and stuff like that. What would you say?
Yeah, we've absolutely done, you know, New Year's Eve and we've had dinner on New Year's Eve and it's been expensive. You're not going to get a lot of stuff to do at like Disney Springs. You know, they're not going to do fireworks. You might want to consider maybe doing Splitsville. I think that could be kind of fun to do on New Year's Eve. Again, it'll be probably really busy because everybody that's not going into the parks will be at Disney Springs. But I mean, that's at least something the whole family can do. And you might want to see what the resort is doing overall, at Disney or at you know, for New Year's Eve, a lot of them have like activities and stuff like that go on. So that might be something that you want to do too.
Two things I might do is monorail hop around the monorail resorts. Just check them out, cruise through. Maybe you don't even have to do a sit down dinner. Just go to Captain Cook's or go to, you know, Contempo Cafe, grab a cupcake there, you know, kind of a progressive thing you make up on the fly. Also, another thing I might do, I've never even thought about this, you know, and this is going to get into our next question about Fort Wilderness, but I bet you Fort Wilderness might be kind of fun on New Year's Eve, too, for the folks that don't, because camper people, like people that like to camp and, you know, be with those big Madden cruisers and all that stuff, I would say they might tend to, because it's very communal over there. Maybe they don't go into the parks and stay back and have a good time. I don't know. I've never thought about it.
No, I haven't either, but that's actually not a bad idea. I like it.
We got a question from Alan in the live chat about, have we ever been to homecoming?
A little bit.
Yes, it's awesome. It's awesome. And he says he heard the hummingbird cake is incredible. Did you try that? I didn't try that. I tried the other cake.
I didn't, but that is so up my alley. It's like spice cake meets banana cake meets like deliciousness. I don't know. It sounds amazing. I really need to try the hummingbird cake. But yeah. Here's the problem. The last time I went to homecoming, I left full, so full. And that hummingbird cake is a large piece of cake. So yeah, I would definitely need, as much as I would not want to share it, I would definitely have to share it with people because...
Yeah, you almost just got to kind of sample it. Like, you're not going to eat the whole thing because you eat so much. I mean,
so
good
split
Lord.
Split a meal split the hummingbird cake, and I think you're good.
I mean, my dinner was chicken and donuts. I mean, that was my entree. True. I mean, so come on now. Dessert can't get much better. So, okay, good. So, yeah, go there, Alan, at all costs. Go. Don't stop. No. Don't just right now leave and see you at Disney Springs. All right, Jillian's got our next question from New Middletown, Ohio, just west of the Pennsylvania border, 58 miles from Pittsburgh, or a one-hour drive. So you're way closer to Pittsburgh than Pam is right now out in the Caribbean. She says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My son and I will be at Disney the end of November. It's November now. Put that into perspective.
That's crazy.
I would love to take my son to see the Christmas lights at Fort Wilderness. I really don't want to spend a whole lot of money on the sleigh ride. So what other ways can we explore the campground? Also, any good options for a counter service dinner while we're there? How much time would you put aside at the resort to look at the lights? Thank you all so much for all your help. I love listening to the show, Jill. So time, I would say 2 hours, plenty. Counter service over at the fort. They do have the window at Trails End, right? We talk about that on an upcoming Monday show. It's really good value.
Yeah, it's, what is it? Is that the PJ's takeout?
Yeah, thing? It's something like that. Yeah. I'd never heard their official name. I just know that there's a takeout right there on the end, like kind of by the last station at the buffet.
Yes. I see people. Yes. Yeah. It's like the PJ's takeout, I think is actually the official name of what it's called. So, yeah.
So what would you say, though? Like, they don't want to spend the money on the sleigh ride, so I guess renting a golf cart would be out because those things are super expensive, but that would be super fun. Your son would love it, I would imagine. I would love it. If I was down there, I might do that, get a buddy and split the cost or something. But walk around. You know, like, that's one of my favorite places to run at Walt Disney World is to run, if I'm staying at Wilderness Lodge, run from the lodge over to Fort Wilderness and just go up and down the loops. It's an easy walk, and I think it'd be pleasant. Grab a hot chocolate and walk. I would say do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. If you don't want to rent, if it's too expensive to, you know, take the trail with the horses and carriage ride, that's the word I was looking for, was carriage ride. I definitely think renting the golf cart would be out. So, yeah, just walking around is going to be fine. I think you'll be good.
Now, I know the lizards are doing, and we're not doing a carriage ride at Fort Wilderness over Marathon Weekend, but we're doing a wagon ride. Was it hold like 40 people or something? I mean, do they have those for the general public? I mean, we got two full wagons.
Yeah, I think
that might
they
be cheaper.
Do that for regular everyday guests. So you might want to check that out.
Yeah, everybody in the live chat, Joanne, Sherry saying walk. Yeah, walk. Have a good time. And also Brian saying, take the wagon ride. All right, check this next email out. This is awesome. I love our podcast family. Right now we have folks, you know, Amanda is in the chat right now. She's saying happy Halloween because she's in Australia. It's already Halloween as we're recording. So
that's awesome.
We record out here on Monday. And we got Tracy's over in Wales. And this is awesome. And this next email, listen to this one. It's from Bjorn Clausen. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, and anyone else listening. My name is Bjorn. I'm a young guy in Denmark, but live in Spain where I run a fabulous Danish restaurant. See, nice. Check it. Gotta love our restaurant tour. Listeners, we gotta get over there and try that. Maybe we'll get a free meal. That'd be sweet. Travel all the way over. This summer, I was in Disney World for the first time with friends who were all Disney fans. It was a magical and fantastic trip. And hearing my friends' feedback, my husband decided to join me on another trip next year. This is very exciting, but also poses some challenge. So I have two questions. We are going with another couple. Of the four of us going, I'm the youngest and also the only all-out Disney fan. While I would love to run around the parks and try as many rides as possible, the other three are more likely to want to make long coffee and people-watching stops. I can see where that'd be frustrating for a person who wants to go like crazy. And yes. It may also avoid some of the wilder rides. How do you guys suggest that we do a trip in a way that pleases all? So a couple other questions. But how do you meld that when you're the uber Disney fan? I mean, especially coming from overseas. You know, like, time is of the essence, and they want to mess around and watch people. Come on.
I know. It is. It's so tough. Especially for someone like me who is go, 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 and then Brian is not. So the one thing that I would say is maybe build in some times to, like, stop and, you know, eat. Like, you know, like, sit down. Have sit down meals. Make sure that that's something that you guys do during your trip, because I feel like that's something that the whole group would enjoy, especially those that are looking to just kind of relax a little bit. So I think that that's going to be key, is having at least one sit down meal a day. And then, you know, kind of get their input on what type of rides that they're really looking at doing and what they're looking to get out of the experience. Really see what they're looking to enjoy while they're on their vacation. And I think that that will help a little bit.
Yeah, I think you make a plan, you know, and try to get, you know, because you want to make sure, you don't want to just give up your vacation to sit on a bench, which, you know, I enjoy now and like Brian enjoys. I mean, that's a good way to see Walt Disney World, but also it's got to be a compromise. So, you know, just lay out some things you really want to do and see. And if they choose not to go on, say, a Space Mountain or a Flights of Passage or whatever that is, you know, that's an ample opportunity for them to go to a nearby coffee shop or, you know, go grab some pastries or whatever they want to do. Grab some atmosphere. You do your thing and then meet up and go from there. That's what I'd say. Yeah. All right. Second question. We're looking to go in mid-April or Primo May for 7 to 10 days. As the appointed planner, I want to do a split stay. I've been told to go crazy and that money isn't an option. Wow. And you don't have to tell me twice, but being raised very well by my parents, I also don't want to throw money out the window if I can find a better option for less money. We're looking at the Polynesian and Animal Kingdom Lodge. I'm squealing with excitement at these choices, by the way. For the two adult couples, what would be the optimal choice? No one wants to sleep in pull-out beds, and a bathroom for each pair would be optimal. Are there any larger rooms or villas for a party of our size? Or would renting two separate rooms be the better choice? Thank you so much for your wonderful podcast. It definitely keeps my Disney World hunger down until our next trip to the magical world of the mouse. Hugs and kisses. Bjorn is from Massapalomas, Spain, which is about 3,652 miles from Pam in Pittsburgh. So don't expect any coffee from me anytime soon.
Oh, right. That's funny.
That's awesome. Thanks, Bjorn. All right. So first of all, great choice. Polynesian Animal Kingdom. Can't beat that. Definitely, man, if you could split and do those, I would do two rooms at each. Or here's what I do. I do two rooms at the Polynesian. That way you have your space, you have your bathrooms, you get a little, you know, you're not on top of each other for the entire stay. But over at Animal Kingdom Lodge, I would consider a villa at Kidani, because you're going to have a great experience. Still going to get to go to the lodge, you know, just walk down, Jumbo House. You can even get some villas in the Jumbo House. And then you're close to Boma, Jiko, you know, the hustle and bustle of the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Kidani's more laid back, quiet, but it's got Sanaa and it's got a really nice pool too. But I think that it'd be kind of fun because, you know, you're traveling together. You want to make memories together. So maybe a villa for part of the stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge and two separate rooms at the Polynesian. That'd be my best bet to kind of get everything in. You know, you get to have some together time, you get to have some separate time, but, you know, you're close by either way. But I don't know, Ricky, what are your thoughts on that?
I think, you know, I think that I would go, if it were me, like, deciding, I would, because of the makeup of their like party, I would really consider staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, because here's the deal. It sounds like they like to relax a little bit, and not that I've obviously stayed at both, but I feel like, I know, right?
You just want to say that.
I feel like there's a little bit more of a relaxation thing that you can do at Animal Kingdom Lodge because you can maybe get the savanna view. And so, you know, you've got those people who want to sit and enjoy their coffee.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect spot to sit and enjoy your coffee and just relax and unwind. So if it was me and thinking about your party, I think that I would maybe consider trying to stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Okay. I'd say consider both of our options. You know, I think that you make great points for Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's amazing. And it's
so
a great
awesome.
Place.
And there's so many things that you can do at Animal Kingdom Lodge, too. I mean, you've got the tours, you know, of the restaurants. You've got the night vision goggles. You've got all the arts and crafts that they have all around the resort. Mm-hmm. It really is kind of like its own little art museum in a weird way.
It is.
So I think that those things can appeal to everybody. So based off what you're suggesting of your party's makeup, I think that that's going to be a better option for you guys. That's not to say that the Polynesian isn't amazing and wonderful. It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. But I think for the makeup of this party, I think that that's going to be the better choice.
And if you've been listening to this podcast for the last 9.5 years, you know we'll never give you a straight answer. So
Right, exactly.
That's what we do. And there's only two of us today. At least you don't get three answers. You know,
That's true. At least when there's three answers, though, sometimes you get the deciding vote.
Kind of stinks today. All right, next question is from Tracy, and it's about credit cards and magic bands. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'll be traveling to the world in a couple of weeks, and I have a question about linking a credit card to my magic band. I have a travel debit card. By the way, Tracy is from Australia. She's from Down Under, so that might give some context here. I have a travel debit card, which holds the currency in U.S. dollars, but my backup credit card, which takes the hit when I overspend on my holiday, is my home currency, and my plan is to not use the other card at all during the trip. I have heard that you can only have one credit card linked to your magic band. Is this still the case? Does this card have to be the same one that was used to book the trip? What happens if the linked credit card on your magic band runs out of funds? I just don't want to get an embarrassing if I buy too many t-shirts and then can't afford lunch. That's awesome. Love the show. Tracy down in Australia. All right. So what I know is that what you pay for the trip totally can be separate from your magic band that's live, you know, your credit card on your account and your magic band that's live during the trip. Those don't have to be the same. That's not related. Now, whether you can have two credit cards on an account for your magic band, I don't think that's possible. I think you can switch maybe during a trip, but I don't think you can have two at the same time because I think the system doesn't know how to pull from two separate sources. Ricky, what do you think? I guess I've never done this. I've just, you know, laid down one card and I really only have one card in my life.
Yeah, so. I only have one card too. I know like if you've got two people staying in a room, you can split it that way, but I don't know if because it's one person, I don't know if you can split that. The best thing that I can do is suggest when you get to the resort, make sure you ask at the front desk, say, hey, here's the situation. Here's what's going on. Is there a way to do this? And they'll be able to assist you with whether there is or isn't. And they'll be able to offer suggestions on how to handle it going forward too. So, if there isn't a way to add the second credit card, you can at least try to, you know, pay it off, mm-hmm. you know, figure out how to pay it off in a reasonable time so that way you can spend more money.
Yeah, keep basically like zeroing the balance, you know, like hit, exactly. Have a charge, zero it out and go from there. I like the way you're thinking forward though. And Amanda is also, she's in our chat, also from Australia. We're big down under, I guess. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. But she says she does the same thing. She links her debit card and gets that squared away. So she just goes down to the check-in area and lets them know.
Kind of what I figured.
Love our listeners. Thanks for helping us do our job. You guys are the virtual Pam today. The chat room is Pam. That's
yay.
All right, let's see here. Jennifer's up next with a podcast question. Hi, Mike and the gals. On our next trip for Labor Day 2018, my husband and I are planning on splitting a day between Epcot and the Magic Kingdom. The plan is to have breakfast at Ohana. Oh, so good. First, on this day at Magic Kingdom, our must-dos are Haunted Mansion, Space Mountain, something other than Peter Pan and Fantasyland. That's funny. Pirates and Jungle Cruise, basically hitting something in each land. At Epcot, we want to do Test Track, Soarin', and Figment before enjoying ourselves around the World Showcase. It'll just be two adults for now. Which should we start with at Epcot or Epcot or Magic Kingdom, and where should we hang our fast passes? Thanks and keep up the good work, Jennifer. All right, Ricky, this one's all you.
Oh, man.
They're eating at Ohana. They're eating at Ohana breakfast, so there's something to consider. That's where you start. Start at the food.
Yeah. I think I would start at the Magic Kingdom. And I think I would... gosh, it's going to be hard to say this. Oh, I think I don't know if I'd make my fast pass. What time is their ADR, do they say?
It didn't say, but let's say it's early before park opening. Let's do that. Or right at... Let's say before park, because you want it early for this.
What'd you say?
You'd want it as early as you can get it if you're trying to do this kind of a system, where you're trying to do two major parks in one day.
Right. So I might make my fast passes for Magic Kingdom and then try for... But then, yeah... that's so tough. I don't know, because then you've got... They said they wanted Soarin'. I know they said Figment, right? And then what was the other one?
Test Track.
You got the single rider at Test Track. Figments you can usually walk on, so the only one that you'd have to wait for is Soarin'. So yeah, I think I might make my fast passes for the Magic Kingdom. And then it depends on how busy it is that day later. You might be able to make your rolling fast pass at Epcot for some of the other stuff. Although, if it's as busy as it was on last weekend that I was there, I was not making any fast passes for anything after I got my fast passes. So, yeah, I was really busy that day.
But, so, what you said, start Magic Kingdom? I think I'd do the same.
Yeah, I would start at the Magic
Kingdom. And then use your fast passes at the Magic Kingdom?
Yes, correct, at the Magic Kingdom.
Okay, we'll go with that. I mean, really, you can't, I mean, yeah. You're gonna get to, if you use your fast passes at the Magic Kingdom and start at the Magic Kingdom... You're going to get a lot more done than what you listed, I think. You're going to get maybe four or five more attractions than you have on your plan. And I still think you can get everything done you want at Epcot, because the buffer of World Showcase, like you say, you want to see World Showcase. Well, that could be, you know, that's just walking through, going into the shops, having a snack, you know, like that's open-ended. Where I think, like you said, you can single rider Test Track. You can. Soarin's not as bad as it used to be.
It's not as bad.
You could walk on. I mean, that's where you're going to wait the longest. Figment, you're going to get on in 30 minutes.
Or less.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Donald's got the next question. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I began listening to your podcast last spring while I was planning my family's first trip to Disney World. I learned a ton listening to your stories and found your insights so helpful. I thought I'd drop you a line to say thanks and to pose my question for you all. Thank you so much. The last time my family went to Walt Disney World, we're a family of four, but the next time we go, we'll be a family of five. Our third child was born this past May. Congratulations. On our last trip, the four of us shared a single room at the Contemporary. Yeah, that fifth person, though. Congratulations. Now it's going to be harder to get accommodations.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be more expensive, but here we go. On our last trip, the four of us shared a single room at the Contemporary, which was a pretty good match for us at the time. It was close to everything. We could see the fireworks every night, and the kids loved hopping on the monorail, even to just ride around the lake. I doubt, however, that a single room will work for us as we think about a trip next year. We pretty much maxed out the floor space last time, and now we'll have a baby, so that goes to sleep a little earlier than the rest of us. So here's the question. What resort or room setup do you recommend for a party of five, especially where not everyone goes to bed at the same time? I can't wait to hear your answers and keep up the good work with the podcast, Don. And bonus question, does Walt Disney World have a babysitter service that's good for one-year-olds just in case we decide to take two older kids out to dinner someplace special? They do, Don. I personally, there's the fairy godmothers, there's others. I don't like to give a personal recommendation on that because that's your kids, and I wouldn't want to recommend something where something happens with kids. That's just a personal, like, kids are too important. But just Google it. Look at, you know,
I think there's one called Kids Night Out, too.
Yes, there is. There's a few of them. But just Google and whatever you're comfortable with, that's good. I just, you know, I wouldn't want somebody to come back and say, you know, you talked about it on the podcast and then it didn't turn out to be what you wanted. Because that's your kids. That's the most important thing in the world. Contemporary, great resort. Again, the deluxe resorts can accommodate families of five, but you said it was kind of just squashed and with babies come stuff, lots of stuff.
Yes.
And so my suggestion, especially since the kid goes to bed earlier, a one-bedroom villa at one of the DVC resorts, which you can rent just like, you know, you book just like a regular trip just 8 months out. Contemporary has them over at Bay Lake. I mean, most of the deluxe have them, so really everywhere except Yacht Club. But a one-bedroom kind of, you know, you could have a door, you can have a separate room, you know, and that way you're not tiptoeing around. So what, Ricky, what say you?
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking a one bedroom villa, or if, you know, you wanted to go this route, maybe the Art of Animation suites,
nice.
You know, the family suites over there, because there's like the separate bedroom there too. So
yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, what you're looking for.
Yeah, and you know what? The kids would love those family suites at Art of Animation. They'd be crazy. And music has them too. But I'd prefer Art of Animation.
I think for their family, that Art of Animation would be the better bet.
Oh, heck yeah. All right. I just got to throw this one in because I love when I get emails and I'm like, yes. All right, here we go.
All right.
Title of this email is Deathly Allergic to Bananas.
Oh.
All right, here we go. Mike, today I was listening to episode 1242, and when Ricky was talking about plantains, I thought, I won't be having those since I'm deathly allergic to bananas. Then you said you were allergic to bananas, and I couldn't believe it. Ricky, I am here to verify that Mike isn't crazy and people allergic to bananas most definitely can't have plantains.
All right, good to know.
As they are a Spanish banana. Mike, I'm so glad to have someone finally in this world that has the same weird allergy as me. Most people don't believe me. I was talking right along with you saying out loud in my car, I would go into anaphylactic at the same time you said those words.
That's funny. I didn't know that it was a thing. So, I know that everybody, like, there are lots of allergies out there. So, it's just one of the more rarer allergies that I've heard of. But, I mean, I'm sure it's a real thing. So,
my wife calls it my special allergy.
But what's interesting, Mike, is you never say it when you go to Disney restaurants that you're allergic to bananas.
No, I don't. I what's worse? Let me tell you about this. I'm a marathoner. And at mile 17, there's this back alley over by Animal Kingdom, or it's by Coronado. It's somewhere back there. I'm like hallucinating at that point of running. There's like, it's called Banana Alley is what I call it, because they're giving out bananas on both sides of the street. I'm like,
everybody wants,
and I mean, these high school kids want to give me 3 bananas at a time, man. They're like, whoo. I'm like, you're trying to kill me, man. I've made it 17 miles. I only got 9 to go.
Banana!
It adds a whole nother level to the dopey challenge. I'm just saying. It's Banana Alley for most. It's Death Alley for me. It's like I'm Indiana Jones. Anyway, let's see. Jessica says, thank you for the great show. I've been a listener for about a year and a half, and it's crazy that bananas finally made me right into the show. She's in South Carolina, about 500 miles from Pam.
We find something to make people write in about, so that's good.
That's what we do. All right, next question is from Jennifer S. Hi, Mike and the gals. My husband and I are newlyweds and are planning our first trip by ourselves to the world for September of 2018. I've been the planner for the family trip since I was about 12, but this will be the first time the trip is planned to be a bit romantic. And in all honesty, this will most likely be the last trip to the world before the kids come. We are trying to decide between Wilderness Lodge and Boardwalk, and I have a few questions. First, any thoughts on which of those is better for a 30-ish year old newlywed couple on a long weekend getaway? The plan is a day at Hollywood Studios, a day at Animal Kingdom, and a split day, just hitting the highlights with a Magic Kingdom morning and an Epcot afternoon. Second, we're big coffee drinkers, and that plus a soda at night usually make the refillable mugs worth it, but I can't figure out where one refills the mugs at the boardwalk. Are they worth it at this resort if we're not on the dining plan? I'm in Northern Virginia, about 250 miles from Pam. This continues even though she's on a cruise and not even here with us. Thanks, Jennifer. Okay, first of all, at Boardwalk, you refill your mug at the Boardwalk Bakery down at the bakery, and it's not bad. And every time you go in there, you're going to have to buy a Danish or something. They're so good. They have such good stuff. Or something chocolate or like a cinnamon roll. Whatever. It's all good. We got to quit doing this at dinner time. Okay. So, Ricky, you're the romance person here. You're the sink. You're like more in Jennifer's demo right here. I'm an old fart with a kid in college.
That's true.
They're looking at, what was it? The two they were looking at, Boardwalk or Wilderness Lodge?
That's tough.
Is this romantic? Halloween edition.
I know. Is this romantic? When are they going? Did they say?
September 18, I think. I just deleted it, but I'm guessing it was that. Yeah,
that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Well, okay. So I still love the cozy romantic spots that you can find at Wilderness Lodge. Like, you know, there are a lot of good, like, getaway spots where you can kind of snuggle on some couches at Wilderness Lodge. So for, like, the romance factor, I think I'm going to stay there. But I will say, if you're looking to have a little entertainment and nightlife experience as well, then you might want to consider staying at the Boardwalk, because you do have the Boardwalk area with all the nightlife entertainment that they have, as well as you've got the ice cream shop. You know, you've got ESPN Club if you want to go, you know, for a couple of drinks or something like that. Or, you know, you've got the Abracadabra Bar too, as well, which is something that you consider. You get the flying fish, which PM loves, which would be a nice place to go for a romantic meal. Doesn't sound like they maybe have a lot of time to throw in that romantic meal at the flying fish, but it's always an option as well.
And by the way, so, Pam makes us mention the flying fish at least once while she's out of town.
It's contract obligation. As for romance part, I'm going to say the Wilderness Lodge, but that's just me. So I think that that's a little more of a cozy place.
Yep.
What
I would say is if the goal is to start the family on this vacation, Wilderness Lodge is where to be. You know, if you're looking for some fun in nightlife, go to Boardwalk.
Oh my God, Mike.
It's as simple as that, and it's time for the last question of the day.
Thank you. I think it's definitely time for the last question.
It totally is. Brian's got it, and says, hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Found the podcast a few months ago and love it. I have a few questions about my family's upcoming trip to Disney World this February. We, my wife, two kids, and my parents arrive the evening of Saturday the 2nd, staying in connecting rooms at Pop Century, and leave midday Friday the 9th. We're doing 5 park days with the Magic Kingdom bookending the trip. My questions are, seeing as our first park day is on Super Bowl Sunday, is there anything we should be aware of at the Magic Kingdom? Also, while it's very unlikely that our beloved Bears will be in the game, that ain't gonna happen. If that miracle were to happen, do you have any suggestions on where to watch the game? Well, you're not gonna be watching the Bears, but if you're going to the Magic Kingdom, all the lounges, that'd be the place to go. They will probably also turn things like the Odyssey at Epcot into a place to watch the game. They've done that for World Cup and stuff like that, but anything else, Ricky?
So we actually do have a Super Bowl page on Mouse for Less.
Please tell me the Rams are not in the Super Bowl. That would stink.
Sorry. So, of course, there's ESPN, which is where everybody's going to go. At Disney Springs, there are a few places that you could consider, like the Boathouse, Splitsville, and Paradiso 37. And so those are some of the places if you really want to watch the game. As far as activities related to the Super Bowl, you're not going to see them in the park on Super Bowl Sunday. The closest thing you will find is that they will sell football-shaped confectionery treats
throughout
the resort. And you may be able to, if you really want to watch the game also, you can maybe go to one of the resort lounges, like we said. The one thing you may have to look out for is the day after the Super Bowl, usually, they do a lot of times have the Super Bowl parade, where they will often have the MVP come and have a small little parade that takes place at the Magic Kingdom. So that's something that you may have to consider if you want to see that. But that's usually not until the day after.
Drew Brees will come back, and it will not be Eli Manning this year. No, not going to be him. You know what? A meet and greet with William the Refrigerator Perry would be pretty sweet. That'd be pretty awesome. There's a stage in Tomorrowland, just saying.
Crazy.
All right, next. We're celebrating birthdays on this trip. Mine, February 3rd. My son's on February 16th. And my daughter's 3rd is February 20th. My daughter is tall for her age and meets the height requirements on a lot of rides. But I also notice that there's an age limit of 3 usually on these rides. Will it be an issue if she wants to ride but isn't quite 3, seeing as she is still free admission? Well, Ricky, I mean, I don't think they know once you get in, like, who's paying and who's not. And if your kid's tall, they don't care how old you are, right? I mean, Mallory was tall.
No.
Might freak her out.
As long as you meet the height requirement, that is all they really care about for the most part. You know, that's for safety issues. So, you know, I know that a lot of people like to try and, you know, squish their kids up as high as they possibly can. But trust me, having worked at a theme park before, it is definitely for the safety of your child. So please don't try to, you know,
or start stretching her now, you know, like that way exactly. She's at least tall enough. Like, all right.
I know it might be a disappointment if they're just a little too short, but trust me, I promise you it's for their safety. So
what if she wears an 80s hairstyle? Is that going to help? No?
No.
Okay. Anyway, finally, and boy, we need a finally here. We have made our ADRs, but I'm looking for good quick service options at the parks. Could I get a suggestion for each park? My parents like to eat cheap, and when we went a few years ago, we were disappointed in the choices we made food-wise. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Sorry for the length of the questions. Brian is in Mansfield, Illinois, a nice even 500 miles from Pam and 175 miles from Mike and Ricky. Well, Ricky, that would have been yesterday, but today you're a little further. Okay, so anyway, let's wrap it up here. I'll give 2 parks, you give 1. So I'll let you pick Magic Kingdom, best counter service in your opinion at Magic Kingdom.
Seriously, at the Magic Kingdom, I think that the best counter service is Pecos Bills. I really do love Pecos Bills and their, you know, Mexican fajitas and rice bowls. And they just really have some awesome food. We got nachos the last time. They were good. They do have some burger choices if you've got the pickier eaters. But I really like what they've done with Pecos Bill. I think they've done a fantastic job there.
Don't go where Brian said. Brian's a cosmic race. I have to ban him from the chat. Let's see. So
wasn't my Brian, was it?
No, I don't think so. Unless he's Pierce. So anyway, I would say also honorable mention, Columbia Harbor House. Very good.
Yes.
Let's see. So Epcot, I'm going to give the first one real quick. Man, there's so much good food back in World Showcase. I would go with, okay, two real quick. Mexico, the counter service, love that. And also Sunshine Seasons and Future World. Anything else?
Sunshine Seasons was going to be where I suggested, so you're good there.
Have a hunger strike and go somewhere else. No, really, Backlot Express, that's about your only option.
Where?
Backlot, maybe.
I guess, seriously, I hate to do this, but go sit at a table service restaurant.
I agree with that. I will do table service every time.
If you did not enjoy the food choices that you picked from the last time, I don't know what you picked, but you're not going to find anything that I don't think if you didn't like them the last time. Like, this is traditional theme park food at Disney's Hollywood Studios. There is really not a lot. I know a lot of people say ABC Commissary, and I guess that would be, if you're looking for something quick service, that would be the best of the worst choices, I guess. Unique things. People got on me about the fact that they had the steak and they said it was really good. I debate that. But
Terry's got the right idea in the chat. When you're having your counter service meal at the studios, walk over to Epcot.
Exactly. They do have like a steak and a salmon dish or something. I don't know. I don't know that I would get that. But that's an option for you at ABC Commissary. So
at the studios, you want to sit down at 50s or Sci-Fi or just somewhere. So now here's the tough one though.
Animal
Kingdom for a counter service. I'm going to say, man, and there's so many good ones. Cause I love Yak and Yeti. I love Harambe Market. I love Flame Tree, but right now Santuli Canteen, baby, that is so good. That's where I'm going.
Yeah, Satili Canteen is definitely, I think, the best choice out of everything. Again, this Animal Kingdom is on point with their quick service for sure. So either Satili Canteen or Flame Tree, I think, are your two best options. But I mean, really, at Animal Kingdom, pretty much anywhere you go, you're going to really decent good food.
And I do have to ban Brian again. American Adventure for the best counter service in Epcot. What are you trolling?
I think he's trolling. I hope he's trolling.
All right, we're wrapping up this show. I can't take the trolling. Anyway, thanks for the great questions. Send those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll answer those right away. Good time. Great questions today. Lots of fun. Today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, what's going on? What are we reading on the app today?
Do we want to talk about it? Okay, let's go with something I know we're not going to talk about, because Friday we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
Yes, we do.
So annual pass holders can now take advantage of reserved seating at the Eat to the Beat concert series shows on a first come first serve basis. By the way, Disney, why are you announcing this with six shows left? I mean, seriously, the offering is available through November 13th. To take advantage of the reserve seating, eligible guests should visit the current annual pass holder button pickup location located inside the Festival Center to get their badge for either the 5:30, the 6:45, or the 8 p.m. performance of the Eat to the Beat concert series that they are going to be seeing that night. A separate queue will be available on the left-hand side of the America Gardens Theater near Japan for annual pass holders with said reserved seating badge. Seriously, Disney, you've got like 9 shows left.
They're just trying it out for this season for next year.
I don't know. I'm just like, okay.
Don't think too hard when it comes to Disney. I've learned that. Don't try to figure it out. It'll hurt your brain.
You can't figure out things.
So don't forget, you can get great news like this. It's a free iOS app. It's going to look great on that iPhone 10, I'm sure, coming up on Friday for those of you that got lucky enough to grab that. It looks great on the 8, the 7, the 6, the 5, the 4, the 3, the 2, the 1. Looks great on all iOS devices. So check it out today. Theme Park News Disney Edition over at virtualmickey.com. Speaking of those concerts, real quick, Ricky, I saw that Tiffany and I do follow Tiffany on Twitter.
Okay.
She apologized for her concert the other night at Epcot because she had allergies. Like, you know how you get down there sometimes? The Florida allergies get you. She said it wasn't her best performance. She gave it all she had, but she was apologizing for the quality of her show, which I thought was pretty sweet. That was pretty nice of her.
I have to say, I saw somebody share a video of the Kenny G concert.
Kenny G's, what was wrong with it? Kenny G's the man. I love little Kenny G.
I watched him play My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion, and I was kind of enthralled by the whole thing.
That's awesome.
I was like, wow, this is really sucking me in. I should not be enjoying this as much as I am.
That is a mellow world showcase right there. Little Kenny G playing My Heart Will Go On. Oh, man, that'll put the whole half of the park to sleep.
It was just like, wow, I still can't believe Kenny G is playing at the Eat to the Beat concert series.
I still, when I hear Kenny G, I get starving because for years and years and years, when I used to DJ wedding receptions, when your parents would be the photographers.
I know.
When I, you know, for dinner, when it was the dinner hour, I always just played the Kenny G CD. You know, that was, that was like, oh man, now my stomach
growls. That's all you gotta do. You don't have to do anything fancy. That's it.
Put my tux on with my tails and put on some Kenny G. Everybody had dinner. I called tables and we were good to go. Anyway, so let's wrap this up. Don't forget to, we got the sponsors. So follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BRGuestMike. Facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. Come on over. And don't forget, please do support our Amazon affiliate link. It's a great way to support the show. It costs you nothing extra, but it helps big time. When you do that online shopping, it's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please bookmark that. Use that as often as you can. It really, really does help the show. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. All right, time to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday talking about some of the current events down at Walt Disney World. Things to consider to make your next Disney vacation better. Some new things coming to the world. And, you know, Ricky knows all about it, so we're going to be talking about it here on the show. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.